The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yeah, Olivia Rodrigo, she is going to be kicking off the Irish and the UK leg of her world tour tonight. Where else but in Cork? She's playing in the Marquee. And one person who is going to be there, Rob Heffernan, who's with me in studio.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Great.
You are going tonight, aren't you?
I am. A couple of tickets came through there now, so me, Marion, and the three of us, Cahill, Regan and Tara, we're all going.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
big gang-y.
We got two different sources came through at the last minute, so great.
She's a local celeb. These things must fall into your lap all of the time, Rob.
My kids love me, no care on, so yeah. Happy days.
Well, listen, tell me, how are you finding breakfast radio? I know, because you're on Red FM every morning.
I'm on Red FM every morning. It's brilliant. I think the first few months were really, really tough. It was so, so hard. Like, and I was like, this is finally, I'm going to be caught out here. But the more the weeks are going on, the girls are absolutely brilliant. I love it. And I love getting up in the morning. It's you're going in. You don't have any choice but to be in good form. You jump out of the bed and you're gone in. And I love it. It's great crack.
How did it come about?
I met Dermot. He's the CEO of Red FM. And I was over in Germany, actually, with Cahill. And he rang me and he said he wanted to have a chat. And between the jigs and the reels, it went on for a month. He didn't want to speak to me on the phone. He said, we go for a coffee.
Yeah.
And I met him for the coffee. And it was always something I wanted to do. I know when I did Dancing with the Stars and when I did the RTE stuff, I said I'd love to do something in media, but I was nearly afraid to say it out loud. And when I met Dermot, and Dermot kind of threw it at me, and I went home and I spoke to Marion, and she said, this is perfect for you. You know, it's brilliant. So I said, no. I said, it's an opportunity, and I just threw myself into it.
So what time does the alarm go off now in the morning?
I get up, I jump up out of bed at 5:15 and I go straight in. I have my gear ready at the top of the stairs. It's grand now because it's only shorts and a t-shirt. I brush my teeth, wash my face, gone, and I head straight in, and I'm on live then at 6.
But you were, I assume from the sporting background, you probably like that routine. You were always probably a creature of routine. Most people are.
I love the routine. I always thought I hated the early mornings, but when people say, like, you could be a martyr and say, oh, I get up at 5 in the morning, but the minute the weekend comes along, I can't get out of bed before 9 o'clock. So it's only because it's routined and it's structured. I think, no, you don't have any choice, and there's no other option. You have to get up. So I enjoy that. I enjoy that aspect of it. And Laura's gas, like, Laura doesn't tolerate the word tired, or you can't come in bad form, or you can't say you're tired. So you have to go in and you're in good form. And it's great. It's great. And even coaching the athletes, if you go in with that mindset that there's no negativity, It's refreshing, you know?
Yeah, because like, you have so many different hats, really. I mean, you're doing the radio, obviously, every morning. People will have seen you on telly over the weekend as well at the Nationals up in Santry. We might talk about that in just a minute. How much coaching are you doing at the moment?
I have 5 athletes competing in World Championships this year. So I have a Swedish guy who's current World Cup champion over 35k. He set the fifth fastest time in history over the 10k walk in Santry at the weekend in a storm.
Wow.
He walked 37:57. So he took my club record and the championship record. I'm coaching a British guy who was former World U champion. I've 2 Irish athletes, Brendan Boyce and David Kenny. David Kenny is going to be a big star of the future. And I have a South African athlete as well. And I'm coaching a marathon runner, then Sean Doyle as well. So, yeah, busy with that.
How do you find coaching Sean in the marathon as opposed to the walk?
It's very similar. The only real difference between walks and distance running is just the technique. So the heart rates, the lactics, all of the zones would still be the same. And it's how you periodise the year in, you know, and how you work to a peak and the block. So Sean and all the lads actually just came back from altitude from Sierra Nevada just the last couple of days. So Sean is competing in the National 10-miler in a couple of weeks, and the lads are competing in the World Championships. So you just periodise the cycles of the year, and you try to kind of combine the phases of training where they're both going to be at. So you're looking for both of them to have the same kind of peak around May, and then another peak in August. But the trainer, obviously, race walking is technical, but it's still the same heart rates, and you're still working off the same philosophy scientifically. You know?
And how have you found that transition then from kind of competitor to coach? I mean, you've got the World Championships in Eugene, they're coming up just around the corner. I think there's a Diamond League on tomorrow night. And then that's it. Then the decks are cleared for Eugene. Like, you know, how do you find kind of coming up to a big event like this? You're not competing, but you're still involved.
Still involved. And I get a great kick out of, you know, trying to plan the lads' year and try to keep them mentally right at the right phase of the year, and even the test coming to Nationals at the weekend is really important, and just how the whole mechanics of the year work. And I think for any athlete, like I know when I came to the end, you start recognising things, you're losing a little bit of power and you're losing a bit of speed, and you're not as obsessed anymore. And I think when there's younger guys coming through, and I think it was kind of very prevalent for me, my last year I was training up in Guadix on a training camp, and Darren McElhenney came out there with Stephen Macklin. He was only a young fella. And I started recognising stuff in him. He was completely raw and he was completely driven on the track, and then off it he was a complete gent. And it was stuff that I never recognised before, and I was like, oh man, you're starting to get old now. Or I'm not like that anymore. So I was hanging on that year. So
yeah.
I think when you come to the end, I think you need to invest back into the younger athletes and kind of see the guys who have that drive and that obsession and that determination. But right now, if you gave me €1 million a year to go back, I wouldn't do it. Like, I try to run every day so I can drink wine at the weekend.
Yeah, that's what a lot of us do. Yeah. I have a similar philosophy myself. Running a lot slower than you, Rob, but it's the same end point. Just for a few glasses of wine, guilt-free at the weekend. You mentioned something there about getting the head right. How much of your job is actually keeping the lads' heads in the right space?
It's very tough, especially in that environment. Even like we had one of the athletes out in Spain recently. He was in with another couple of the athletes who were really strong. And if you start comparing yourself to them, when last year you could have been stronger than them, it can be really, really tough.
Yeah.
So I think I've had all of them experiences myself throughout my own career, the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. And I think to be able to have that relatability with them, even with kind of real stories, that they can kind of trust that. So everyone is different. And I would even find, like, I was even chatting to Percy this morning. We were out training this morning and he was like going, how did you deal with the media before Moscow, before you won? And my kind of attitude was, you're in such a privileged position now. You know, you're like probably 0.1% of the people in history who can go to a major championships and compete for a medal. And I said, when you look back to the start of your career, when you weren't important, when you were, you know, more or less a bag carrier for the senior athletes of the team, to be in this position now is a privilege. So you always want to win a medal. So I said, if you go out and you're in the right space, you physically and mentally, and you just go, so what if you don't win one? It's not as if you're going to go out and not try to win. But I think you're always trying to win the medal, and you're always trying to get your preparation right. And once your prep is done, you have to go in and enjoy the competition then, you know?
Yeah, I remember the Moscow. It was midweek because we News Talk Breakfast, I was working on at the time, and we cut live to it. We were basically just describing to listeners what was happening on the telly at the time as you were coming in towards the finish line. It was absolutely brilliant and one of kind of a highlights of a career full of highlights. I know I mentioned the Nationals and you were up, you were on RT television at the weekend with Derval, and like the weather kind of cleared up just in time for the television cameras. I know it was fairly inclement for a lot of the athletes, but one of the races I was really excited about was to see Rashida Tadeleke, who ran in the 100, and my God, what a race.
Yeah,
I mean, she won it by a whisker.
She's incredible.
By a whisker. I mean, how excited are you for the talent that's coming through?
There's serious talent coming through, but again, I don't get that excited because talent is talent when you're 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and then life can take over. And talent can paper over the cracks all the time, and you can use the kind of analogy, oh, we have a young team coming through. But if you go back as far as Sydney, I went to the Olympics in Sydney, we had like, there was me, there was like Jamie Costin, there was Gordon Kennedy, Paul Opperman, Emily Mayer, none of them came through, you know? So you go to every cycle, and we've had so many groups of athletes like that historically, and you can paper over the cracks by going, Rashida, there's no guarantee she's going to come through.
There's a lot, many a slip twixt cup and lip.
She's in college now at the moment, and I believe she's a massive, massive talent. I think she's phenomenal, you know. But even Israel Alatunde, who ran the 100 metres, real big talent. But when he comes out of college and when he has to work, is the environment there for him to train? And I even know with my boys who I'm training, it's fine when they qualify for grants, but we do need to have more professional coaches here, and we do need to have a professional structure where the athletes can come in and commit to this lifestyle. And that's the way it is in Europe, you know. And
have we gotten closer to that at all with things like the campus and all of that? Because I know when you were training, like, that wasn't there. And I know my sister would have been training around the same time as you. And there was kind of an expectation when you had your grant, right, you have to go off to another country now because we don't have the facilities, which is an awful thing to do. Here's the money, go abroad.
And I think when you look at talent, I think Joanne is probably the biggest example, like, of somebody who was one of our most naturally talented athletes ever. And but I always maintain she probably only reached 80% of her potential. She was that good, you know, whereas if she was all in for 4 or 5 years, she could have been a major superstar of the sport, but she was massively talented. So you have to be careful when somebody is that talented, that they're told they're talented, but is the real important thing is that them athletes reach their potential. Mm. And that's the responsibility of the coaches. And the same with Rashida. No, she's really talented, but are we going to get her to the stage where she's going to be making Olympic finals, world finals?
But have we gotten better on that front?
We have. Here? I think we have all of the facilities now in Ireland. And that was the big thing back in the day. Oh, we don't have the facilities. Mm. Our climate here is really good. It's really good in the winter compared to the rest of Europe. If you go up to Blanchardstown, everything is there. And I think if we get accommodation on campus up there and you sporadically put athletes there in camps over 3 weeks, 2 weeks, weekends, I think we could have the base in Ireland with the coaches and with the knowledge to be as good as any country in the world. But we do need to have the accommodation tied in with all of the facilities up there, you know, because at the moment it's kind of, I think it's kind of 9 to 5. It might be closed at the weekend. I don't know, but I don't think it's been used enough.
All right, yeah, but there's at least the building blocks
but
are there.
But it's there, it's definitely getting better, and, you know, the medical side is after getting better, physio support is better. It's 100 times better than when I was younger. I did a gig with the OFI last week. That's 1,000,000% better than what it was when I was younger. It's really positive, so things are definitely moving in the right direction.
Are you excited for Eugene, for the World Championships?
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm going out there with my boys, and
I'm going
to be broadcasting the breakfast show out there as well.
Oh,
remotely,
brilliant.
At night time, so it'll give a different angle to
the
radio.
Be great.
So I'll try to get on some guests out there. So I'm excited about my lads. I think the Swedish lad has a good chance of winning a medal in both events, and David Kenny and the young athletes going out there as well. They're going to get exposed to some serious competition, and it's sold out. You can't get a ticket, you know.
Yeah, stadium looks absolutely brilliant as well. Listen, we wish them all well, and we wish you well.
Brilliant.
Rob, and best of luck in Eugene. I might tune in from afar to the breakfast show on Red FM to see what it sounds like coming from the west coast of the United States. Rob presents it every morning, the breakfast show with Laura and Kira, of course, Irish race walker, world champion, Cork legend as well. Enjoy Olivia Rodrigo tonight.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
As
thanks
well. Listen, plenty still to come on the Hard Shoulder after the break. We'll have all your businesses with Gavin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.